Well, let us open with a word of prayer. Father, we like to open with prayer and close with prayer and in the middle with prayer. Lord, thank you for another wonderful lesson for us today and another prayer in the Bible. And Lord, it is just so clear in a sense, two or three things which just seem to really jump out as we look at this prayer, at least they did to me, Lord. And may we receive from you and then do, Lord, to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we are in Matthew 11, and I want to begin by singing the Billy Graham altar call song, Just As I Am. And then the fine print on the back side is kind of an interesting aspect about the writer, Charlene Elliott. And she was visiting some friends, it says, in London. And there she met this pastor, Cesar Millan. And while seated at supper, the minister said he hoped that she was a Christian. She took offense at this and replied that she would rather not discuss that question. Dr. Millan said he was sorry if he had offended her, that he always liked to speak a word for his master, and that he hoped that the young lady would someday become a worker for Christ. When they met again at the home of a mutual friend 3 weeks later, Miss Elliott told the minister that ever since he had spoken to her, she had been trying to find her Savior, and that now she wished him to tell her how to come to Christ. His response, just come to him as you are. Isn't that a great statement of witness? I mean, you don't have to quote, you know, the Torah and all that. You just, I hope you will become a Christian, or I hope that you were a Christian. Isn't that great? And so Billy Graham was saved in 1934, 81 years ago, with this song, was part of the song, I guess, at the revival he was. So he used this song for his altar call through his ministry. And then recently, or a few years ago, he entitled a book, Just As I Am, about his life. And so let's sing this together, Just As I Am, without one plea. Beautiful, huh? Beautiful. Well, today I want to look at a prayer from Jesus, of thanksgiving to the Father. And we find it in Matthew 11, 25, and I want to read on to through verse 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Such a great passage here, isn't it? The biblical context or background is that Jesus' ministry in the Galilee has now been in full swing for maybe a season or so, but he's met a lot of resistance from the prideful and exalted leaders, rulers, particularly in the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And so he has said right before this, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven will be brought down to Hades." And then we move on into this text I just read you. And the first thing that really strikes me is that Jesus answered. Now, anytime I see that statement in the scripture, I always go back to see what the question was. Well, you won't find a question. And that is so important, I think, to us. Jesus is so accustomed and talking to the Father so continually that a question's Father is not even singularly mentioned enough to even record in the scriptures. So obviously the Father asked him a question because Jesus answered, right? Mm-hmm. Now, how about you? Are you talking to the Lord so often that you find yourself answering questions from him and other people around you would not even know what's going on, and they would think, if they heard you, they'd think you're kind of crazy maybe, I don't know, but I pray that you are. This is what Jesus' relationship with the Father is. He answered and said, "I thank you, Father," but he goes on, "Lord of heaven and earth." Awesome, isn't it? "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent." He's talking, I believe, about these exalted leaders and rulers in Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. They're wise, they're, you know, lifted up, but they won't receive. How hard it is for an intellectual to humble themselves, you know? But Jesus is thanking the Father. Why? That you've revealed them to babes. Isn't that awesome? We're babes, aren't we? I mean, we're helpless, hopeless, with nothing to offer. But he's revealed it to us. Not because we're great, not because we have really gone out of our way to study and all this, but because he loves us. And he chooses to do it as we go on. It says, verse 26, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." This is God's providential or sovereign plan, you know. Why did he pick up Peter, for example, and use him so mightily, and yet Nicodemus, who was such a wonderful ruler and a gifted Pharisee and apparently a very educated Pharisee, but God used the fisherman, right? Why did he pick you? Why did he pick me? Why are we here today? It's all by his grace and all because he called us. And then we see this wonderful relationship in the Trinity here in verse 27. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." So that is such a powerful statement, and it makes you kind of really feel really cringe when we hear of the Orthodox, for example, just the Orthodox Jews who are so sincere and they pray and they pray and they pray to the Father, but they don't recognize the Son. And Jesus says, if you don't know me, you don't know the Father. Very clear. "Nor does anyone except that the Father wills to reveal him." So you're here this morning as a believer because the Father has chose to reveal it to you. Not because you're so smart and so wonderful. Well, maybe you are, but I'm not. And he's chosen to reveal us. And then in verse 28 is this great invitation, "Come to me." That is so significantly different in the gospel, in the new covenant. What was the old covenant? The old covenant was one of fear. Walk right or you'll perish. If you walk right, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be perished. It was the law. The law that convicts, the law that repels, basically. But the new covenant is love. It's grace. It attracts. It draws us to him. And so Jesus is saying, come to me. Don't flee from me. Don't run away from me, but come to me. Come to me, who? All you who are laboring and heavy laden. Now he's talking about also, I think, not just to come to him, to know him, but to come to him and be assisted, be helped, take that load off your back. He doesn't want you carrying a big load. So all of you here this morning feeling you're all weighted down and man, it's just too much to carry. Oh, woe is me. Pay heed here. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. As far as I know, this is the only two places where Jesus tells us to learn from him. What are we to learn? Gentleness and lowliness in heart. Gentleness and lowliness in heart. And then the promise, you will find rest for your souls. And then what is his promise back to us? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So think about that a minute. I know at times each of us must feel like we have a very heavy yoke, like we have a very heavy burden. But I think if we really spend some time with the Lord, we'll find that heaviness is not from him. Unless he's not true, because he says in his word here, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Which part of that don't you believe? I pray we believe it all and are aware of that all. So, in summary, is your habit one of being so close to God that you find yourself just answering him without any visible question, so to speak, from the outside? Are you thankful that we respond to God because he has drawn us, because he has called us, because he's revealed things to babes like us? Are you thankful for his gentle command, come to me? And then are we responding? We want to respond what? Come quickly, Lord Jesus, do we not? Isn't that what he taught us in the model prayer? Pray that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Are we not too commanded to pray for the peace in Jerusalem, which is the same thing? There'll be no peace in Jerusalem until Messiah comes. He's coming again, right? And we're to pray, come, Lord Jesus, even so come. Father, we thank you for the scripture this morning as it can speak to each of us in such a wonderful way. And Lord, you have given us this gift of prayer that we can come to you with intercession, we can come to you crying out, Lord, save me, I'm drowning, or whatever. But Lord, may we also come to you with thanksgiving. May we come to you praising you. May we come to you thanking you for your faithfulness. Faithfulness to your word. Thank you for faithfulness to Israel. Thank you for faithfulness to the church. And thank you for faithfulness in my life and in each life individually, Lord. So lead us and guide us now in this prayer time as we have these moments together, few precious moments together, but important moments. And here we are on the last day of October, that we can begin this day and pray this week once again together as your children, as led by your Spirit. So may we recognize we're all praying exactly the same prayer if it is led by your Spirit, because there's one Spirit and one Lord. Lead us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.